GoDaddy.com. Use the code BLU139 to get 10% off any combination of purchases at GoDaddy.com. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1356, June 15, 2010.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Jackson, Georgia. Spent the night last night at Carbondale, Georgia. Sometime this morning, I guess while I was sleeping, they sent that load that I had picked up in up there in Kentucky, whatever, the Taylorsville or wherever it was. Kentucky, they're outside of Bowling Green. When they initially sent the load to me, the load information, it didn't have a destination. Well, it turns out today they, you know, whoever was in charge of that got all that put in there, and they got an appointment number, a delivery appointment number, and it was a drop and hook. And so this afternoon I was able to go on down to McDonough, Georgia, and to that coal storage, and do a drop and hook. And so right after I don't know, it's kind of weird. Seems like they always, if they're going to send a load offer, they'll always wait until somehow the truck is moving. I've had other drivers tell me that they'll sit there and wait, you know, because I waited a little while. I was kind of messing with the phone, you know, kind of waiting around to see if they were going to send a load offer and anytime soon. And so after, I don't know, 15-20 minutes, I decided, well, I'll just go ahead and go to the nearest truck stop. Of course, the nearest truck stops to McDonough, Georgia, or Jackson, Georgia. There's a bunch of truck stops down here at this, I think it's exit 201 on Interstate 75. But in any case, as soon as I pulled out of the guard shack at that cold storage, there's a message on the Qualcomm. And so while I was stopped in their driveway waiting for the traffic on the street to go by, I was able to answer the message and basically accept the load offer. It picks up tomorrow, or the 15th, June 15th, or Tuesday, at, I think it said noon or 12:30 or something like that. And then that delivers, that would be Wednesday evening at midnight up in Harrisburg, I think it was Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So, in any case, I went ahead and came on down here to, there's a Flying J, there's a TA, I think a Loves, and a, you know, what's the other one? I don't even remember. But there's about four truck stops here at least. So I came to this Flying J, and that's where I decided I would spend the night at. And so, I'll just drive back over to the shipper in the morning, kind of get there, you know, maybe an hour, 30 minutes, something like that, before the appointment time. And it may end up being a drop and hook. They may have already put a trailer in the door, or they, you know, there's always a chance they might load the trailer that I'm hooked to. So in any case, am not you know, really didn't have to hurry and go pick another load up today. And it's kind of nice after having several, you know, a series of all those just-in-time loads, hurry, get here, hurry, get there. It's kind of nice to, you know, to have, you know, things have slowed down a little bit, at least as far as the loads I'm getting, where I get to wait a little bit, and I'm not pushing myself quite as hard. Anyway, what I want to do, I've got email and some news stories to go through, and quickly I want to go through, I want to go through the top 10 box office, and then, but before I do that, Victor had sent me a link to a YouTube video, another Alabama politician's campaign ad. You remember, I don't know, it's been several weeks ago, there was one where, you know, they actually showed the guy with a gun, you know, in the ad. He was wanting to, you know, it was an ad for a primary, you know, and this guy was wanting to run for, win the primary to run for Alabama Agricultural Commissioner. And so this one, the guy's just running for Congress, but it's kind of interesting. So in any case, I downloaded it. Here is the audio for it. The title of the ad is "Gather Your Armies."
And I would impeach him. And if that's not enough, some of you men own taverns. Sam, you are a brewer. Mr. President, a distiller. You know how tough it is to run a small business without a tyrannical government on your back. Today, we have an Internal Revenue Service that enforces what they call a progressive income tax. You'll love this. Every year, if not every quarter, we're basically required to spy on ourselves, report what we earn, who we hire and fire, with an all-powerful separate court system. Without representation, they can increase taxes, add costly regulation, or perform malicious audits. Now, this same IRS is going to force us to buy health insurance, cram it down our throats, or else. Now, I took an oath to defend that with my life. Now, I can't stand by while these evils are perpetrated. You gentlemen revolted over a tea tax. A tea tax! Now look at us. Are you with me?
Gather your...
I'm Rick Barber, and I approve this message.
Okay, so there's the Rick Barber ad. Again, he's running for Congress in Alabama. So very interesting. So thank you, Victor, for sending the link to that video. So let's just jump right on. Well, before I do that, we better talk about yourbabycanread.com before I forget about it. So we're waiting for Microsoft Word to open up. There it goes. Okay, so let's open the file. There we go. Make it bigger so that I can see it. Okay. Your Baby Can Read is a truly revolutionary infant reading system. It was developed by a leading infant researcher, Dr. Robert Titzer, who taught his own daughter to read when she was just 9 months old. Your Baby Can Read taps into children's natural ability to learn language in the first 5 years of life. The reading system includes videos, books, flashcards, and games. Go to www.yourbabycanread.com/podcast to watch real home videos of infants and toddlers reading. A 6-month-old recognizing words on flashcards, an 18-month-old reading sentences, a toddler reading Charlotte's Web. Try it yourself risk-free and see what your child can do. Visit www.yourbabycanread.com/podcast and give the lifelong gift of early literacy to your child. And, of course, Tyler, who I met up with... I don't know, I guess it was last week up there in Louisville, had actually used this material before I started advertising, before it became an advertiser. He had actually used this, bought the stuff and used it and with his son, and he said that it actually does work. It's really amazing. So yourbabycanread.com/podcast. So let me go ahead and close out of that, and we'll jump right on in to the top 10 box office. This is for the week, let's see, June 11 through 13, 2010. And so number one on the list is The Karate Kid. It had a weekend gross of $56 million. Let's see, it's been in release for 1 week. It's in 3,663 theaters. The theater average take was $15,283. And it's got a rating on this website of 4 out of 5 stars. And so here is the trailer for The Karate Kid.
Quest to start a new life.
Welcome to Beijing.
Look at that, Dre. Beverly Hills. We always talk about living there.
Yeah, but I think we're talking about the other one, Mom.
I just want to go home.
This is home.
The only way to stop them is to face them. I will teach you.
Nice.
Take off your jacket. Take it down.
Put it on.
You ready?
Take it off.
I already did.
Jacket off.
Let's go.
Strike. Pick up your jacket. Focus!
10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name.
It's like Star Wars. You're Yoda and I'm like a Jedi. That's nasty.
All right, so there is the trailer for Karate Kid. The premise of that that they give away in the trailer, if you actually watch it, is that this mom and this boy apparently have moved to Beijing, China. You know, and the kid wants to go back. Obviously, he wants to go back to America, and mom says, nope, this is home. And then they show these Chinese kids picking on him, and then the Jackie Chan character takes this kid under his wing and kind of teaches him karate, is the sort of the premise of it. And I would suppose, you know, in the end, the kid probably ends up facing the bullies and defeating them. So, you know, I don't know. It's probably, you know, if that's the case, then it's kind of an uplifting type of movie. The karate, you know, where they do the karate stuff, that doesn't really appeal to me. But so this is probably aimed at families and you know, kids and that, you know, what have you. And I imagine there's, you know, if the movie's really successful, there's probably a video game in the offing. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. So number two on the list is The A-Team. It had a weekend gross of $26 million. It's been in release for 1 week. It's in 3,535 theaters. The theater average was $7,355. And it's got a review of 4 out of 5 stars. And so here is the trailer for The A-Team.
1 year ago, an elite commando unit was sent to prison for a crime they didn't commit. These these men promptly escaped from a maximum security facility. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers for hire.
This is beyond nuts, boss. It gets better.
Now we're talking.
You miss me? 'Cause I miss you.
If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them...
Sucks to be you, homie.
You look like you got a real bad attitude.
Maybe you can hire...
I love it when a plan comes together.
The A-Team.
What the hell's that?
If you look out on the right-hand side of the aircraft, you'll notice that the right wing is on fire.
All right, so that is the trailer for the A-Team. It looks kind of like the typical action movie, and they've whoever they have playing the characters, you know, they've got a somewhat of a resemblance to the original characters in the TV show. I you had Mr. T and whoever else was in that. I don't even remember anymore. that television show was on the air long, long time ago, and so they decided to make a movie based on that, and so it's, you know, I don't know if that would appeal to me or not. In any case, number three on the list is are movies that I've played the trailers for all of them in the past. Number three on the list is Shrek Forever After. Had a weekend gross of $15,800,000. Gross to date, $210,052,000. It's been in release for 4 weeks. It's in 3,868 theaters. The theater average was $4,084. It's got a review of 4 out of 5 stars. Number 4 on the list is Get Him to the Greek. Had a weekend gross of $10,100,000. Gross to date, $36,500,000. It's been in release for 2 weeks. It's 2,702 theaters. Theater average is $3,737. It's got a rating of 3 out of 5 stars. Number 5 on the on the list is Killers. Has had a weekend gross of $8,170,000, a gross to date of $30,670,000. Last week's, the week in release has been in release for 2 weeks. It's in 2,859 theaters. The theater average take was $2,857. It's got a review of 4 out of 5 stars. Number 6 on the list is Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. Had a weekend gross of $6,600,000. Gross to date, $72,300,000. It's been in release for 3 weeks. It's in 3,108 theaters. Theater average take was $2,123, and it's got a rating of 4.5 out of 5 stars. Number 7 on the list is Marmaduke. Had a weekend gross of $6 million. Gross to date, $22,278,000. It's been in release for 2 weeks. It's in 3,213 theaters. That theater average is $1,867. And it's got a rating of 3 out of 5 stars. Number 8 on the list, Sex and the City, number 2. Had a weekend gross of $5,525,000. Gross to date, $94,745,000. It's been in release for 3 weeks. It's in 2,750 theaters. The theater average take this week was $2,009. And it's got a 3 out of 5 star rating. Number 9 on the list is Iron Man 2. It had a weekend gross of $4,550,000. Gross to date, a whopping $299,311,000. It's been in release for 6 weeks. It's in 2,305 theaters. The theater average take is $1,973. And it's got a rating of 4 out of 5 stars on this website. And finally, number 10 on the list is Splice. It had a weekend gross of $2,860,000. Gross to date, $13,071,000. It's been in release for 2 weeks. It's in 2,450 theaters. It had a theater average take this week of $1,167. And it's got a rating of 2 out of 5 stars. So, those were the 10 top box office, the top 10 for this past week. So, let's just jump right on into the, right on into the email. So Ken had sent a story about the Roku. Roku player, new Netflix channel rolls out tomorrow. Now, this was from several days ago. It was actually May 27. Roku originally told us of its new Netflix channel would roll out in June, but it looks like things are actually happening a little early. The updated interface will go live starting tomorrow, and it will be rolling out to everyone in the next week. As promised, the new interface lets you search the entire Netflix Watch Instantly library directly from your TV, and you'll be able to browse through the Netflix categories like new releases, action, comedy as well, which definitely makes the casual turn-on-and-watch experience far easier and nicer. Okay, so anyway, that's basically it. It kind of goes on a little bit. Our senators push for tracking of all prepaid cell phones. New York Senator Chuck Schumer has already taken aim at texting while driving, and it looks like he's now set his sights on prepaid cell phones, which he says can also be dangerous when in the wrong hands, at least. To that end, he and Republican co-sponsor John Cornyn of Texas have introduced legislation that would give authorities the ability to identify the owners of prepaid cell phones, which they say is long overdue, because for years, terrorists, drug kingpins, and gang members have stayed one step ahead of the law by using prepaid phones that are hard to trace. Well, why don't they just use a public phone? Payphone? I guess there's still a few of those around, not very many, though. That new tracking ability would also consequently place some new requirements on cell phone carriers and people buying the phones. Specifically, anyone buying a prepaid cell phone would be required to present identification before buying a phone, and cell phone carriers would have to keep that information on file for 18 months after the phone has been deactivated. Of course, the legislation still has a ways to go before it becomes law, but Schumer says it has at least as good a chance of winning support from the Obama administration. Head on the past break for the couple complete press release. Oops. Sprint's... Oh. Okay. Okay, I don't know where that there's some other article got stuck in there. Okay, so let's see. Let me scroll on down here. And then there's an article here that Ken sent about the Evo. And this was before it was actually released. It looks like those private beta rumors earlier this month were legit, seeing how Sling Media is now officially showing off its latest Sling Player Mobile incarnation on HTC's lovely Evo 4G for Sprint. The company is boasting that the app has the fastest load time of any version of Sling Player Mobile to date, and we can't imagine that WiMAX hurts either. So this should be the perfect accessory for your Evo 4G purchase when the phone launches early next month. It's not clear yet whether or what other Android devices will be compatible with the software, but we imagine Sling will be saying more soon, so stay tuned. Let's see. Verizon looking at scrapping unlimited plans for all 4G data usage will use LTE for voice by 2012. We'd not so secretly hope that carriers would be looking to dispense with those troublesome 5 gigabyte caps on so-called unlimited 3G data plans. But there's a big problem with that. Spectrum is still limited, and even though 4G technologies help use it more efficiently, it's still a constraint that the FCC is going to need many years to solve. Excuse me. We're not sure how much the spectrum crunch really factors in here, but in addition to his comments on droid incredible inventory problems, Verizon Wireless boss Lowell McAdam mentioned that at a Barclays Capital conference this week that he hopes to move away from unlimited plans altogether for the company's LTE network instead of charging for buckets of megabytes just like in the olden days, despite the fact that it'll cost a half to a third of what it costs today to transmit the same amount of data. In other words, all of Verizon's data plans will get even more expensive as the new technology evolves. On a happier note, McAdam said that the company expects to be using its LTE network for voice by 2012, which comes just after its first volley of LTE-capable handsets in early 2011. He also mentioned that at least some of those devices will be shown off at CES 2011, and naturally will be there not just to check out the phones, but to raise some hell at the notion that unlimited data is a thing of the past. At this rate, how are we ever going to run the Engadget servers on a wireless connection? Let's see, and then this is a message from Facebook, and it's from Matt. He says, "Hey Tom, thanks for the ad. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and your insight. If you ever get through northern Colorado, give me a shout." And that's from Matt. So thank you, Matt. And then this is an email from Tyler, who I actually met last week when I was in Louisville. Says, "Hey Tom, I'm a tri-axle dump truck driver that is interested in making YouTube videos and possibly doing a podcast. I'm in and out of rock quarries and asphalt plants all day and make deliveries to road crews for paving or millings and dig out. Needless to say, I'm bouncing up and down the road all day, even with the tiniest bumps. I wanted your opinion on mounting locations for a camera. Also, was wanting your advice about what equipment I would need, hardware and software, to get started. I would greatly appreciate any advice you could give. I think this would be unique to YouTube because I myself don't see many tri-axle videos on YouTube, and hardly any that do my job. Looking forward to hearing from you. Love your podcast. Listen daily and agree with 99% of what you say." And that was from Tyler. And so this is my response that I sent back to Tyler. You could use a motorcycle handlebar tripod to mount a video camera to a passenger side grab handle if your truck has one. And then I sent him a link to the one similar to the one I have. Otherwise, you could Velcro a video camera to your truck's dash. My primary camera is a Sony HDV camcorder that records to DV tapes. I also have an inexpensive Aptek HD camera that records to SD memory cards. There are two basic approaches: make a video that is edited, or make videos that are done with in-camera editing by making multiple short shots. Making, in other words, just kind of trying to collect only what you need in the camera. Making edited videos using software can be quite involved and is typically very time consuming. I started out using Windows-based software such as Adobe Premiere Elements, but a couple of years ago, mostly out of frustration, I switched to using Apple OS X and Final Cut Express, which provides a much easier experience. If you're just planning on putting videos on YouTube, then you could use the built-in Windows Movie Maker, which is very simple but extremely limited in what it can do. The other thing to be sensitive to is that you are dealing with the same people all the time. They may not like the idea of having YouTube videos made of them or their facilities. Generally, I'm careful to keep things in my videos fairly generic and avoid showing specific businesses or companies that can be identified. I also never tell people directly around me or my employer that I'm making content for the internet. Audio podcasting is quite a bit easier. A simple approach is to get a Zoom H2 and use the free Audacity video audio editing. It's audio. Audio editing program to render out MP3s and post your files to a free service such as Mevio.com. If you have any other questions, let me know. And so anyway, thank you, Tyler. Then there's an email here from Caleb. He says, "Hi, Tom. Here again with a random Android thought. Like you, I used a Windows phone before switching to an Android device. Phone book transfer can be a breeze with Google. Simply download Google Sync to your phone from the market or from the Google Sync mobile website to your Windows phone. Sign in using your Gmail account info, and Google Sync will back up all your contacts from your phone to Google. Then with Android, you simply sign into Google, and one of the first steps after powering on an Android device, and instantly the device will pull all your contacts from Google and add them to your phone. It was a lifesaver for me, and I thought I ought to pass this info on to you in case you weren't aware and in case you end up switching to an Android device. Thanks again. Good luck getting home soon." And that was from Caleb. And so what ended up happening, I found, you know, because I did sign, of course, I signed the phone into my Google account, and I got a ton of contacts that way. But what I also did was I found this program, and it turned out to be free. It was Sprite something or other, S-P-R-I-T-E. Found it through, you know, a search engine. But the first step is to install the thing on the Windows Mobile device, and they've got other versions of it besides Windows Mobile, but in my case I had Windows Mobile. So I installed that on my old phone, and it made a backup image of all of my contacts. And then the next step was to export that. And, you know, and so I exported it, did an export, and then that created a smaller file. It was the original file was like 800, it wasn't quite a megabyte, it was like 800 kilobytes, something like that. Let's say a little over two-thirds of a megabyte, or three-fourths of a megabyte. Then the next file that I actually, transferred to the Android phone was like 300 and something kilobytes, so it was about a third of a megabyte. And so I was able to import that into the phone once I got it, into this Evo, and fortunately, it brought all of the contacts in, and I think maybe some bookmarks for the browser and some other stuff. But the thing that I didn't know whether it would do or not would be to bring in the pictures that I had taken with the phone and associated with the contacts in Windows Mobile, and it did bring the pictures. So I've still got all of the pictures that I'd associated in the contacts are still all intact in the new phone, which that's pretty cool. So it was Sprite. If you just look up Sprite and then maybe transfer Windows Mobile to Android, just type in the word Sprite with that, S-P-R-I-T-E, you should be able to find it. And but it ended up being completely free. So but that really did work, and so I was able to get the pictures that were associated, you know, plus all the other contact information that I had in the Windows Mobile phone. And then plus I've got all the Google, you know, the email addresses and what have you transferred from my Gmail account. So anyway, thank you, Caleb. And I got an email here from, this was actually from YouTube. It was from Conrad. It says, getting internet and computer video to Sony Bravia HDTV. Good afternoon, Tom. I just bought a Sony Bravia KDL-40EX700. That's a Sony widescreen HDTV set. I was wondering if it's possible to do the same thing you demonstrated in the video using a Windows PC. Is there any special software or hardware required? I tried using the Sony PC to TV plugin for Internet Explorer, but have been unsuccessful. Any suggestions or help would really be appreciated. Thank you. And that was from Conrad. And so I, you know, responded to Conrad back through, you know, because this message came on my YouTube account. And so I don't know, he never did respond back that I know of, so I don't know if, you know, if, I'm sure he must have figured it out, but I, you know, I gave him two or three pointers, and I did, I looked up the model of TV that he had, and this KDL-40EX700, and it had all, you know, just all sorts of input choices, you know, HDMI and VGA in and so on and so forth, so he should be able to figure that out. And then I think the problem that he was having, and it's a problem that a lot of people run into, and they initially, you know, of course people don't read manuals for computers. Americans don't, and you know, and I'm guilty of that too. On a lot of computers, when you, you know, and this is something to remember, if you ever hook your TV up to a projector, you're trying to do some sort of presentation, or you hook your computer up to a television, a lot of people are doing that these days, what you want to do on a lot of laptops, now it's not true for all of them, but what you want to do on a lot of them, let's say the laptop has got a VGA out port, or even a digital out port, but probably a VGA out port on the computer. What you, on a laptop, what you want to do is, you know, make the physical connection and then tune the TV to the right input, you know, to the PC input or whatever. But then on the laptop, you know, it may not be, you know, you're not actually sending video out. So typically what you have to do is hold down the function key on the laptop keyboard and then find a one of the... it's usually one of the function keys along the top of the keyboard, you know, F1, F2, F3, so on and so forth. As you're holding down the function key, because usually on most laptops there's a key that says FN on it, hold that down and then find the key, the function key along the top of the keyboard that's got the little something that looks like monitor, like a monitor icon, and then cycle through that. Typically what they will do, a lot of computers, the way they work, when you do that keyboard combination press, the key press combination, it will kind of cycle through either turning, you know, because the default usually is to save power is to turn off that VGA port. So the VGA port on most laptops is not active unless you tell it to be active by pressing this key combination that I just described. But typically it will, you know, on a lot of them, what it'll do, you press it, that key combination once, and it will turn off the laptop screen and turn, you know, and turn on the VGA port, press it again, and it will have both of them on. And it may be the other way around. It just depends on the particular laptop and the manufacturer as to how they do that. But, you know, you cycle through, and usually, you know, and that's true on a lot of laptops. And so, you know, that's what I kind of described back to him, and I kind of got the impression that that's probably the problem he was running into, is he was hooking it up and there just wasn't anything coming through. And if it was a laptop, it was because the VGA port was turned off. You know, and as I say, they do that. They keep that off by default. You don't want to run that if there's, you know, and if the, you know, because 99.99999% of the time nothing's ever plugged into it, and I'd say that probably the majority of laptops probably never get plugged into any kind of a VGA monitor or a TV. So anyway, So I got an email here from Paul. He says, hi, Tom. My guess is battery life is important to you. This was from Paul Figiani. Especially while on the road, he sent this link to an HTC Evo review. Doesn't sound too impressive. Now, of course, Paul's an Apple fan, and you know, which I have no problem with. But you know, I like Paul. I met Paul several years ago when he came to one of the portable media expos in Ontario, California. And Paul's a nice guy, really nice guy. I like Paul. But he's, you know, to be honest, Paul is an Apple fan. And it's, you know, he's always defending everything Apple. And, you know, so, in any case, I've got the HTC Evo now. And I've had, you know, I've had a chance to play with it quite a bit. And, especially in the past couple of days. And I'm happy with the battery life. Now, this evening, what I did after I got here to this truck stop, I went inside because I was wanting to get something to eat in the Flying J, and so I ordered in the restaurant. So I went inside, and I was in there probably a good 2 hours because I just, you know, wasn't in any hurry. Most of the time I was in there fiddling with the phone. You know, I was using the browser, I was going to Facebook, you know, of course, using data, etc., 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 and, you know, playing YouTube videos and everything else. And when I got done, you know, came back out to the truck, you know, and I'd been using it for 2 solid hours, pretty much, with a couple of little breaks in between while I was eating. But I used the heck out of it, and I got the battery down to 59%. So that's not bad. If I would have done the same thing with the old phone that I had, it would have been dead and it might have lasted 30 minutes at most. So this has pretty decent, this Evo's got pretty decent battery life. You know, and I suspect that if you take an iPhone and you just use it constantly and you're sucking data down, at a pretty high rate, I would imagine that, you know, the battery is not going to last as long as it would if you just kind of use it more normally. But So far I'm pretty impressed with the battery life on the Evo. And for me, it doesn't really matter, because when I come back out to the truck, what do? I plugged it back in. And right now I'm using it as a Wi-Fi hotspot. And this is a 3G area. Now, Atlanta is actually supposed to be 4G. But I'm probably 30... Let's see. Probably 30, maybe upwards of 40 miles south of Atlanta right now. And I don't think there's 4G down here. I think the 4G is probably more, you know, in the city and maybe around, you know, closer to the actual city itself. And so I'm using 3G here. But when I was downloading these clips, these YouTube clips a while ago, you know, using the phone as a hotspot, I was hitting some pretty good 3G speeds. Some of the faster ones I've ever seen. You know, it was like 300, I think at one point it was like 300, it peaked at 320 kilobits per second. Normally on 3G, whether it's Verizon or Sprint, you're going to see speeds between 100 and 120. Kilobits per second. Sometimes you'll see, I've seen them up to like 170, for short periods, but I've never, this is the fastest I've ever seen, jumping clear up to 320. So, that just, with the 3G, it really depends on where you're at, what cell you're connected to, how many other people are connected to that cell, so on and so forth. Now, of course, this Flying J truck stop where I'm at is right next to Interstate 75, which tends to be pretty busy, it was still pretty busy whenever I stopped here. You know, I got here, I guess it would have been about 7 o'clock Eastern time, 6 o'clock my time, Central time. It was still pretty busy, and, you know, so, now it's probably a little less busy, although the thing does stay pretty busy anyway, Interstate 75. And I'm still getting some pretty good speeds out of the Sprint 3G, at least right here. But as I say, it's highly dependent on the cell phone, the cell tower you're actually connected to. And, plus a variety of other factors. So, but I'm very pleased with this phone. I couldn't be more pleased with it. And I'm still discovering little things that that it will do that, you know, I need to go through the manual, the owner's manual, and actually read it. Because I did kind of read through about half of it before I got the phone, the PDF file. And what I need to do is go through that again, and then, you know, a lot of the stuff will probably make more sense. So, and I'm sure I can probably pick up on some things that I just haven't ran into yet. But very, very impressed with it. And I am impressed with the battery life. Now, the problem, you know, depends. Let's see. I don't know if this is going to tell me. TechCrunch. I don't know. You know, some of these websites that do reviews are biased. If somebody's going to be biased, then, you know, if they come right out and say, hey, you know, I'm biased, then that's one thing. But if they kind of pretend to be something else, or try to pretend to be objective, then, but they're really not, they're less useful. Now there's this other website, it's called Mac Daily News. And, I kind of became aware of that because Ian has sent me several articles from there about different things. But just kind of reading those articles and looking at their site and kind of some of the snarky comments that they make. You know, and of course, it's Mac Daily News, but they're reporting on, they've got articles about a lot of other stuff. But besides Apple stuff, but it's pretty obvious that they're really, that they have a, you know, they're this kind of Apple fanatic fanboy type. They have this sort of attitude, and that's the sort of attitude that initially just totally repelled me, turned me away from any kind of Apple products for years. Because you had these rabid Apple fans, you know, and the religious types, you know, that they're superior because they're using Macs. They're superior, you know, and some of these people are still around, and, you know, and they've latched onto the iPhone, and they're superior because they're using an iPhone. And some of them are even, they've even swallowed even more of the Kool-Aid and are happy with AT&T because Apple, you know, Apple uses AT&T, and by golly, they're going to defend it, and they're happy with it. And, so some of these, you know, some of the, you know, they criticize different things, especially if it's not Apple. And then sometimes they may be critical of Apple stuff, but, you know, the overall, you know, if they're biased like that and they're not just coming out and saying, hey, you know, we're Apple fanboys, you know, we're trying to present something that, you know, we're trying to pretend like we're not biased, but it's obvious that you are, then, you know, I just kind of take everything they say with a grain of salt. It's kind of like the news media. You know, look at our news media in the United States in particular. A lot of the so-called mainstream news media is just far left-wing. It's obvious to me. they're biased, but yet they try to present themselves as being fair, you know, just kind of being objective and so on and so forth. But it's obvious that they're terribly biased. They're biased towards the left. They're biased against the right. So therefore, you know, a lot of people are just turning them off because you can't trust what they say. You know, and they've been caught in lies, you know, a jillion times. You know, remember the Dan Rather thing where he made up the, you know, they had this phony thing that was made with Microsoft Word that was supposed to be a document from the early 70s before Microsoft Word existed. You know, and here's Dan Rather trying to present it like it's a real document, an investigative journalist, and, you know, that's, of course, that ended up costing him his career, and he had to quit. You know, they fired him from, you know, as a CBS Evening News anchor several years ago, but that's just one example. So, you know, these people are biased, and, you know, it would be one thing if they just came out and said, hey, we're liberals, this is our viewpoint. Then I could respect that. I wouldn't watch it necessarily, but I could respect that. But they don't do that. And, you know, now if I tell you something, you know, like especially if it's a political point of view, I'm biased. I tend to be conservative. And I don't hide the fact. I'm not trying to hide the fact. And if I chase somebody away, then good riddance. Because I'm not going to hide the fact of my own bias, you know, and how I think. I'm not going to hide that. I'm not going to try to pretend to be everything to everybody, you know. And if I offend somebody, then, you know, somebody doesn't want to listen to my political opinions, good riddance. It's your loss. So, but I don't know. I wish some of these sites do themselves a disservice. And, you know, Apple would do well to just dump the, you know, try to get rid of these people. Because they are a turnoff to the broader market. You know, as I say, it was these fanboy types, the rabid ones that, you know, we're superior because we use Macs. Those types of people turned me off for years. I wouldn't even consider buying any kind of Apple. I wouldn't even buy an iPod. And so finally, you know, after, you know, what kind of changed it for me was when Apple kind of moved to the Intel platform. And, you know, so after they did that, and then it became obvious, hey, you can run Windows on this machine. OS X's actually pretty decent. You know, and it kind of enabled me to kind of forget about these fanboy types. And, you know, because I don't really have to deal with them very much. But, you know, those people, they're still around, and they still turn people off. So, anyway, then there was a couple of emails here from Ian. He says, I hope this finds you well, Tom. Not finding a podcast this morning was quite a shock. 2 days without my fixes, 2 days too many, LOL. And that was from Ian. And then the second email here was, Tom, I wanted to let you know you made my day. A few weeks ago, you told me to unpair my Bluetooth headset to make it work on a new device. I did that and paired it with my iPad, and it works perfectly. Thanks, buddy. And that was from Ian. So thank you, Ian. Then there's an email here from Arnold. He says, hi, Tom. Love to hear more about the Apple TV hack. Sounds very interesting. May I suggest a podcast or more in the podcast about the food out on the road? I find that subject interesting as well. Have fun at home. And that was from Arnold. Well, what's food out on the road? Flying J. This is what I had tonight. So-so, wasn't all that great. Tastes like every other Flying J stuff. High-priced and not all that great. McDonald's, Arby's, Taco Bell, Subway, Burger King, Hardee's. Did I leave any of them out? Occasionally Blimpies. And, of course, TA's has restaurants, and then occasionally, you know, I might go into some kind of an independent truck stop restaurant. Those are kind of few and far between anymore. It's all fast food anymore, and so there's not much to not much to talk about. Anyway, thank you, Arnold. AT&T makes sweeping changes to data plans. iPhone tethering coming at OS 4 launch. Sprint and Verizon still the better options. You might think that AT&T would hold off for a national HSPA Plus deployment or a full-on LTE launch before tweaking its data pricing strategy, but not so much. The carrier is coming out with swinging today with some significant changes that should benefit the overwhelming majority of its smartphone users and could stand to harm a select few. Let's break down the major points. The existing Data Plus, Data Pro. The existing $30 fair use unlimited smartphone data plan is being replaced by two new options. $15 per month for 200 megabytes and $25 for 2 gigabytes, called Data Plus and Data Pro, respectively. Customers currently on the $30 plan are welcome to stay on it, but they can switch at any time without extending their contract. AT&T's new overage system is arguably the game changer. On the $15 plan, you'll pay $15 for each additional 200 megabytes, but on the $25 plan, you'll pay $10 for each additional 1 gigabyte. It's simple and straightforward, but most importantly, it won't bankrupt you if you go over by a gig or three in a month. This compares to $50 per gigabyte of overage on AT&T's 5 gigabyte Data Connect plan for laptops. The carrier is going to be very flexible about changing between Data Plus and Data Pro plans. If you're on Data Plus, for example, and you discover that you're blowing past your allotment, you can choose to either start Data Pro the following billing cycle, prorate it, or apply the higher plan retroactively to the beginning of your current billing cycle. That's pretty wild. Tethering will be offered as an add-on to the Data Pro plan for an additional $20 per month, which means you'll pay a total of $45 a month for 2 gigabytes of data shared between your phone and your tethered devices. If you're light on the usage, it's a sweet deal, but if you scale it up and you're using data almost exclusively on your laptop, it compares unfavorably to the traditional Data Connect plan, $60 versus $75 for 5 gigabytes, and in the unlikely even... That doesn't make any sense. Unlikely even you've got... It's not written right. A webOS device on Verizon, it compares... I think that word's supposed to be event. In the unlikely event you've got a webOS device on Verizon, it compares even less favorably. If you're striking a balance of data between use between a smartphone and a tethered gear, AT&T's new setup is still pretty solid, considering that you would have been paying $60 for the USB stick plus $30 for smartphone data before. Yes, it's finally happening. AT&T phones will get access to the tethering option too. iPad users are also affected by the change. The $30 iPad data plan, lauded for being labeled by AT&T as truly unlimited, goes away to be replaced by the same $25 2-gigabyte plan that smartphone users will see, though current subscribers to the $30 plan can continue unaffected. Everything launches on June 7 except for iPhone tethering. It'll launch when OS 4 does. In the meantime, we're told users can sign up for the $30 plans, both on their phones and their iPads, if they'd like to be grandfathered in. Follow the break for more details along with AT&T's full press release. We're definitely mourning the death of unlimited data. Unlimited is a word that consumers always naturally like to hear, But AT&T points out that 98% of the smartphone subscribers use less than 2 gigabytes a month, which means that nearly all users ultimately stand to see a $5 reduction in their monthly bills. We spoke to Mark Collins, AT&T Mobility's Senior Vice President of Data and Voice Products, about the changes for a few clarifications on the company's strategy, and he made it crystal clear that the concept of unlimited data is a thing of the past, echoing comments made recently by Verizon's Lowell McAdam, particularly in light of the oncoming spectrum crunch that stands to make wireless broadband an even more precious commodity than it already is. He also mentioned that laptop plans are unaffected by this move, though he went on to say that they've laid a framework for data pricing here that should continue all the way through to the company's LTE rollout, so we wouldn't be surprised to see some tweaks made on the laptop side sooner or later to reduce overage fees, if nothing else. We mentioned that the change stands to hurt a few users, and it's true. We're extremely heavy smartphone users here, for example, and we're hard-pressed to break even a gigabyte of usage in a month. Anyone doing a boatload of video streaming, though, we're lacking access to Wi-Fi at home and at the office. AT&T's quick to boast about its 20,000-odd hotspots might find themselves regularly slamming headlong into that 2-gigabyte cap, and there won't be any option but to buy overage. For what it's worth, Collins pointed out to us that the plans will feature automatic text and email alerts at 65, 90, and 100% usage of your monthly allowance. And at 75 and 100% usage of each coverage overage purchase. So it should be pretty easy to keep an eye on things and make sure you don't break the bank. AT&T warns customer that emailing the CEO will result in a cease and desist letter, further legal action. This was from June 2nd. Sure, Steve Jobs might be a one-man email PR machine, but his pal Randall Stephenson at AT&T doesn't appear to be quite as gregarious as reader Gloriglo Galante found out today. Sending AT&T CEO 2 emails in 2 weeks results in a phone call from AT&T executive response team and a warning that further emails will result in cease and desist letter and possibly further legal action, not to mention being dropped as a customer. What did Gloriglo's emails say? The first was a request to bump his iPhone eligibility date and request for a tethering option. And today's outline, his displeasure with AT&T's new data rates and ultimate decision to switch to Sprint and the HTC Evo 4G. That prompted Brent to call Gloriglo, back and thank him for the feedback, but also politely warn him that further emails would be met with legal action. Ouch. As you'd expect, AT&T just lost itself a customer. We followed up with Ma Bell to find out exactly why they went the lawyer route instead of, filtering Randall's email. We'll let you know what they say. If they talk to us at all, it's a different story altogether. P.S. Amusingly, Gloriglo, or whatever his name is, said he emailed both Randall Stephenson and Steve Jobs last year about offering tethering, and actually got a response from Steve. Maybe these two CEOs need to talk about their goofy new data rates and service quality that continues to go downhill the next time they meet up. One of the reasons why I don't want to do business with AT&T. Sorry. So this was a message from Facebook from Eric. He says, picking up a Droid tomorrow, despite the differences in make and carrier. Most apps should be available for both, though we'll advise you if I find any can't live without it apps. By the way, you are the one who initially turned me on to Twitter. For that, I say thanks. I'm a diehard Twitter, Twitterific. Is that it? Twitterific? Let's see if that's what it says. Well, I guess Twitterite. It's Twitterite. And have been for a long time. I thought maybe it was the name of a program, but he's just a diehard Twitterite. So thank you, Eric. Then there's a little message here from Tyler. He says, on your most recent podcast, you spoke about if people were genuine, then there would be no need for rules or laws, and people would just be more moral. What about the people who are genuinely immoral or bad people? And there are those people, you know, there are, you know, I was kind of speaking, you know, in general, if you just had the majority of the population, if the majority of the population were just more genuine, then those other people, you know, there are always probably going to be people that we have to lock up. You know, there are people that are crazy. There are people that are just, they hate morality, they hate their conscience, and they love evil, you know, to put it bluntly. Ego, you know, evil gives people these, you know, that gives the wrong side of your ego the illusion that it's God, that it's really in charge, that it's the cat's meow. And there are always going to be those kind of people. So, but if the majority, you know, I think the majority of people are potentially decent. And, you know, at least in the United States, I don't know about the rest of the world, but at least in the United States, I think the majority of people are potentially decent. They're just corrupted. And if people could just be more genuine, you're corrupted away from being genuine, who you could be. And, if more people were really genuine, and they want to be genuine, if you can kind of explain it to them and get them to want to be genuine, a lot of the problems would simply go away, or they wouldn't be as bad as they are. And then there was this other message from Tyler. It says, hey, I see you're in Kentucky with a load delivering in Louisville tomorrow. And, of course, Tyler was able to come and visit me where I was, the place I was unloading at. I live in the New Albany, Indiana area, about 10 minutes from Louisville. I would enjoy the opportunity to meet you and see if I can, you can lay some wisdom down on me. Let me know if you have the time or the desire to meet. I work tomorrow, but just give me a call if you like, and I don't answer, I'm probably driving. Just leave me a message and I'll call you back. Take care, Tom, and be safe. And so I did meet Tyler, and we went to a Mexican restaurant nearby and had a great time, enjoyed it. So thank you, Tyler. And then there's this email here. Well, we're hitting 68 minutes. I've still got more email left, but I probably better be cutting this off. Just save it for the next podcast. So anyway, probably, as I say, need to cut this off and get this thing put together, uploaded, published, etc., etc., etc. Hope everyone is having a good week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.